Well, as you've probably noticed, we've been working our way through Luke chapter 22 for several weeks. I've been preaching on small sections of Luke chapter 22 because there is so much in Luke chapter 22 that I can't even begin to summarize it adequately in just one sermon. Today's gospel reading is once again from Luke chapter 22. Specifically, Luke chapter 22, verses 35 through 38, where we learn how Jesus fulfills Holy Scripture by willingly going to the cross for our transgressions. In fact, in Isaiah it says that he goes to the cross for the transgressors. And those transgressors are not only his own 12 apostles, but those transgressors are also us. Jesus does this for us so that we might be rescued from the damnation our transgressions deserve, and that we might be set free to live as his children, now and forever. All of this was predicted in the Old Testament, and Jesus fulfilled it. As we sang in our sermon hymn, Jesus fulfilled everything by his death on the cross. Well, today's gospel reading begins as follows. Then Jesus asked them, "When I sent you out without purse, bag, or sandals, did you lack anything?" "Nothing," they answered. He said to them, "But now, if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag, and if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one." What is going on here? It sounds like Jesus is telling them to do the opposite of what he had taught them earlier. For example, back in Luke chapter 9, we learn what Jesus had previously taught his apostles. Here's what he said to them back in Luke chapter 9. Jesus sent his apostles out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick, and he told them, "Take nothing for the journey. No staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic." And by the way, he doesn't mention anything about getting a sword. So why does Jesus say this to them back in Luke chapter 9? Well, not only does he not want them to respond in violence toward their enemies, in fact, he teaches them to love their enemies and pray for those who persecute them. But Jesus also tells them this because he wants them to trust that God will provide for them through his people whom they are called to serve. But now in today's gospel reading, Jesus also reminds them of this earlier teaching when he asks them, "Did you lack anything?" And their answer was simply, "No." They admit, honestly and sincerely, that they lacked nothing. God kept his promise to care for them through his people whom they were serving. But just as Jesus knew that Judas would betray him, just as Jesus knew that Peter would deny him, Jesus also knew what his apostles were about to do, and in fact, had already done. After Jesus is arrested, they would stop trusting God to care for them. They would stop trusting God to protect them. They would begin to doubt. They would begin to fear. And Peter would even resort to violence. I want you to listen to this section of scripture from later on in Luke chapter 22, which I'll be preaching on more thoroughly in a future sermon. But listen to this. When Jesus' apostles saw what was going to happen, they said, "Lord, should we strike with our swords?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, "No more of this." And he touched the man's ear and healed him. Luke says that when Jesus was being arrested, one of the apostles strikes a servant of the high priest with his sword. Now we know that this apostle was Peter, because John's gospel tells us the identity of this apostle, whom Luke leaves anonymous. Now, when Peter attempts to use human force and violence to prevent Jesus from being arrested, Jesus stops him, and then Jesus even heals the man whom Peter had wounded. So it's very clear that Jesus wants his apostles to trust God and to not use violence against their enemies. But the apostles just don't get it. Wait just a minute here. If Jesus wants his apostles to trust that God will care for them, if Jesus doesn't want his apostles to use violence to defend themselves against those who would persecute them, then how in the world do we explain what Jesus says in today's gospel reading? Remember what Jesus says to them? He says, "But now, if you have a purse, take it, and also a bag. And if you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one." Once again, it sounds like Jesus is telling them to do the opposite of what he wants them to do. How in the world do we explain this? Simply put, Jesus is God, and he knows that his apostles will fall away. He knows that they will not trust him to provide for them or to protect them. Therefore, Jesus actually tells them to do what he knows they intend to do anyway. And Jesus tells them to do this because Scripture itself predicts that he would be associated with transgressors the hours before his death. We know that Jesus did the same kind of thing with Judas. You see, Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him. He knew that Judas would not turn away from his evil plans no matter what. Now, with that in mind, listen to this section of Scripture from John chapter 13 and hear what Jesus says to Judas during the Lord's Supper. John writes, "As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. Jesus told him, 'What you are about to do, do quickly.' But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him." Isn't that interesting? Why did Jesus tell Judas to go ahead with his plans to betray him? Please understand, Jesus did not say this because he actually wanted Judas to do it. No, my friends. Instead, Jesus said this because he knew that Judas was going to do this no matter what. In fact, Scripture predicted that Judas would do it. And Scripture needed to be fulfilled. Well, my friends, the same thing is happening in today's gospel reading. Jesus knows that his disciples will not trust him to provide for them, nor will they trust him to protect them. In fact, Scripture predicts that Jesus' associates would be transgressors. And so Jesus tells them to do the very sin they intend to do, so that Scripture will be proved true once again. With that in mind, listen to the rest of today's gospel reading. Jesus said, "It is written," and he was numbered with the transgressors. "And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment." The disciples said, "See, Lord, here are two swords." "That's enough," Jesus replied. Did you catch that? The apostles already had two swords with them. Even though Jesus had previously taught them that God would provide for them and protect them, even though Jesus had previously taught them to love their enemies and to be willing to endure persecution for the sake of Jesus' name, even though Jesus had previously clearly taught them all of this, they had brought swords with them all along. They brought swords to the Last Supper, keeping them hidden, hoping Jesus wouldn't notice. But even after Jesus quotes Isaiah 53:12, which predicts that Jesus' associates would be transgressors, his apostles still don't get it. You see, they think that the transgressors are the people who are trying to kill Jesus. They don't realize that they are also the transgressors. And so, in their clueless state of mind, they actually think that Jesus is now giving them approval to use violence. And they say, "Hey Lord, see? Here, we already have two swords." They think that Jesus is now giving them permission to use violence. Well, at this point, in utter frustration, Jesus says, "Enough already!" Did you notice that my translation is different from the English translation in your bulletin? You see, the English translation in your bulletin makes it sound like Jesus is saying that those two swords are enough to fulfill the prophecy, as though Jesus is okay with it. But that's not the best understanding of the original Greek. The original Greek of Jesus' words is hikanon estin, which in this current context is best translated as, "That's enough," or "Enough already," or even "I give up." Simply put, Jesus is expressing his utter frustration with his apostles' spiritual blindness. They just don't get it. However, before we judge those apostles too harshly, we must take the log out of our own eyes and admit that we are also guilty of being spiritually blind at times. Think about it. We come here on Sunday mornings or Wednesday evenings. We come here to hear God's Word and receive the Lord's Supper. But how often don't we go back out into that world and then think and speak and live in sinful ways? The devil tempts us to think that the transgressors are those other people out there, not godly, church-going people like us. But just like Jesus' apostles, we often fail to see that we are also the transgressors. Do we ever fail to trust that God will provide for us? Do we engage in hateful thoughts and hurtful words, and maybe even use physical violence, rather than loving our enemies and praying for those who persecute us and forgiving those who have sinned against us? Or do we hold grudges? Oh, my friends, we need a Savior. We desperately need a Savior, just like the apostles. And the good news I have for you today is that we do have a Savior. The title for today's sermon is, "Jesus Fulfilled What Is Written." And in today's gospel reading, Jesus says, "It is written, and he was numbered with the transgressors. And I tell you that this must be fulfilled in me. Yes, what is written about me is reaching its fulfillment." Did you hear that? Jesus quotes from the last part of Isaiah chapter 53, which is our first reading for today. The whole of Isaiah chapter 53 is a prophecy of Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection for us transgressors. And so the hope for us transgressors is found in these words from God at the end of our reading from Isaiah. Listen again. "For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." Jesus fulfilled what is written, and he did that for you. Just as Jesus knew in advance that his apostles had those two swords all along, just as Jesus knew in advance that his apostles would betray him and deny him and doubt him and even use violence in direct disobedience of his instruction, just as Jesus knew all this in advance, he also knew about all our transgressions before we ever committed them. But even though Jesus knew about all your sins in advance, all your past sins, all your present sins, even the sins in your future. Even though Jesus knew all of this about you, He still fulfilled what is written because He loves you and wants to save you. Later on, those 12 apostles realized how they had sinned against Jesus. They grieved over their sin. They felt ashamed. Then they ran back to their resurrected Lord. And what did He do? Did He turn them away? Did He say, "You failed me? You sinned one too many times? You kept those two swords with you the whole time when I told you to not use violence?" Did He rub their sins in their faces? No. When they came back to Jesus in repentance, longing for salvation, He forgave them. And He loved them. And He used them to be His witnesses in this world. In the same way, you can come before your crucified and risen Lord today. All those sins that weigh you down, all those sins that you struggle with, all those sins that haunt you with guilt and shame, you can come to them with Jesus, and you won't surprise them, you won't surprise Him, because He already knew in advance that you were going to do those sins anyway. He just wants you to come to Him with those sins so He can set you free, so that He can forgive you and love you, and also use you to be His witnesses in the world. Like the apostles, we get to live for Jesus. We get to be His witnesses in the world today. We get to point people to Jesus, who fulfilled Scripture by dying for our transgressions that we might be forgiven and live now and forever as His people. We get to be witnesses for Jesus. We get to be witnesses for the One who fulfilled Scripture for us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.